Hello, friends. Welcome back to Love Wrestling. Spencer Love here. It's a bad day, obviously, for my vocal cords, but it is a great day because I've got the opportunity to chat with Michael Kingston, the founder, the man, the mind behind really everything at Headlock Comics, and of course, the upcoming Tales from the Road Volume 2. It's great to chat with you, man. I'm excited to talk comic books. It's nice to get, you know, adjacent to wrestling with a lot of this because usually I've got wrestlers on here or people directly in the business, and of course you are, but you're doing something really, really cool, of course, with Headlock. Take me a little bit through that. But first and foremost, my friend, how are you doing on this beautiful Monday?
Doing all right. I'm always perpetually tired. So I worked 14 hours last night. I got up, you know, working on a Christmas story for the December Tales from the Road, trying to, you know, do the Kickstarter. We got a little, you know, it's always perpetually tired.
No rest for the wicked, they say, right? No. Now, I know that even prior to the pandemic, you were doing a ton of conventions. You know, every interview I've watched pretty well is live from conventions. But have you gotten a chance to get back out to any since the world has started and in most places really reopened?
Yeah, I've done a bunch. We just had New York Comic Con a couple of weeks ago. We had Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross and Rob Van Dam and Katie Forbes and Jake Roberts at the booth. And we did a little signing with Cardona, Myers and Sterling. That was good. Then maybe four or five probably since. It's not too bad.
That's awesome.
What it used to be, but you know, we're working it out. So
I feel like everybody's starting to get a little bit more of their feet in the water, but it's still mostly toes at this point, right? But
well,
So
much of last year or this year's schedule got moved to the back end. So I actually have three of my biggest shows are Thanksgiving weekend and then the following 2 weeks after that. So it's going to be, this is the time of the year I'm wrapping up shows, and we still have a bunch of big ones left. So.
Well, you've got that. You've got, like I said, the Kickstarter for Tales from the Road 2 that is ongoing until November 11th. Before we get right into that, because there's lots of cool stuff even you can see on the Kickstarter page and all of that. Like, take me through a little bit of your fandom. What came first? Was it pro wrestling? Was it comics? Or was it sort of, again, I bring up being adjacent to each other. Was it adjacent timeline-wise for you?
It was very close. I know the exact... you know, when exact wrestling fandom started. I'm going to date myself a little bit age-wise here, but the very first Saturday Night's Main Event, I remember flipping channels and as an eight-year-old boy coming across George the Animal Steel and right in the middle of his, you know, his old turnbuckle shtick and just sort of being mesmerized. Like, I'd never seen anything like that. And I've watched wrestling probably every day of my life since then. Comics, I used to get them. I was always sort of familiar with the characters, I think, just because there were those old, like, 1963 Marvel cartoons they used to play, like, they really do not hold up well.
The Super Friends.
Well, the Super Friends was great, but there were, like, these old Captain America and Iron Man things, and they're really short, and they're really bad. When they're on YouTube, and they're awful. But, like, I had, like, stuff. Like, I had a card game, like an old maid game with like Marvel heroes on it. And like, that was my first experience with like a lot of those characters. But then I would bug my mom for comic books at the grocery store on like a spinner rack. And the very first comic book I ever bought had Captain America and Spider-Man fighting on it on the cover. And in my mind, I knew they were both good guys. And I was like, what's going on here? And then I would get them from time to time at the store. And then my mom worked down the street from a comic book store. So she took me to a comic book store and I walked through the door and angels sang and the lights, you know, the heavens opened up and that sort of started that whole thing. So it's been a lifelong, they've both been sort of lifelong loves.
What were some of maybe your favorite comics growing up? Because I know, and I want to get into the fact that you said you weren't necessarily a wrestling comic fan, but what were some of your favorites, whether superhero, Marvel or otherwise?
I'd always sort of gravitated more towards Marvel heroes than DC heroes, just because I think I've always liked the relatability versus, you know, like DC sort of has like the God heroes. I mean, you know, Marvel's heroes, even, you know, a character like Thor, who's a God, is a little more relatable to me as he's, you know, trying to sort of prove himself and all that. But like, I think that I've always sort of liked the Marvel heroes, and then X-Men was really sort of the thing that got me like deeper into collecting, like the Chris Claremont run. And then, you know, I stopped when I was going through college. And then when I got out of college, I picked right back up again. And of course the issue, the first issue that I had, the oldest issue, like I had stopped collecting, was, it was X-Men 212, I think, which is Wolverine and Sabretooth. And like, that was a expensive one to fill. And, you know, in the meantime. So, but yeah, I rebuilt all the holes in my collection and then just kept kind of going. Over the years, I've sort of fallen, I guess, out of love with superhero comics per se, but I still love comics. I read all kinds of independent creator-owned books, you know, different kinds of genre stuff. And it's always sort of, it's always been a frustration of mine, in the same way that there's a lot of people who think that they're wrestling fans, but they're really just WWE fans. And there's a lot of people who think they're comic book fans, but they're really just superhero fans. And they're both two sort of mediums that are sort of dominated by such a singular aesthetic. And I'm sort of doing different things with both of them. So it's, you know,
I was like going to say, it seems like pretty cliche to say, but like with the advent of the internet, it's not just those like typical paperback comics. You've got internet comics, you've got all of that sort of stuff. You've got even different fundraising opportunities, you know, to go back to the Kickstarter to raise money for comic books. But I wanted to ask you though, like the one reference that you brought up when I listened to a previous interview of yours, you said like the one wrestling comic that you saw was like Kevin Nash as Mad Max, which like to me, never read it, objectively sounds awesome. But what was it about the wrestling comic book genre that you maybe didn't get into?
It just felt like, it didn't feel like, it always felt like something that somebody hacked out to make money. Like it was just sort of a, you know, when wrestling's hot, like, oh, let's do this. And, you know, there were licensed WWE comics and stuff that never really kind of, they didn't feel like they were made for wrestling fans or by wrestling fans for, you know, for that matter. And I think as a consumer of anything, you can always sort of feel when something is made to make money versus when something's made out of passion. And that's sort of the feeling I always got when I read wrestling comics. So at some point it just became clear that nobody was going to make the wrestling comic that I think I wanted to read. And everybody that I knew, like that liked comics, was a wrestling fan, and everybody I knew liked wrestling, like comics. And so I just figured, you know, I was going to have to make it myself if nobody was going to do it. So, and that's what started
Why do you feel there's so much crossover between wrestling fans and comic fans?
I mean, it's the same thing. It's, I mean, wrestling is 3D comics, essentially. I mean, you've got, you know, larger than life characters, colorful costumes, the battle of good and evil. I mean, it's, you know, wrestling is probably the closest thing that, you know, we'll ever have to real life superheroes until people start falling into radioactive waste and, you know, getting superpowers, I guess.
You know, fingers crossed, but fingers uncrossed. One of those weird, you know, one of those weird mental games you got to play with yourself, right? Which is certainly something you dive into as far as Tales from the Road, the first one did. And now, of course, the second one will do coming up. The Kickstarter going until November 11th, but you got lots of great stuff lined up on that end as far as extras, as far as everything in between. But what I wanted to ask you was, between this one, between Headlock, between everything in between, have you maybe found any new challenges with this one or anything, whether COVID, whether anything in between?
I mean, everything's challenging for me. I guess the, you know, the new wrestling landscape, I guess, isn't, you know, it's been great for a lot of people, but it just makes things more complicated for somebody like me who sells non-branded. You know, I mean, there's so much branded merchandise out there now. I mean, you've got people that have more t-shirts than they've got matches on television. And you know what I mean? Like, and it's, and then when people push the wrestling war, so to speak, you know what I mean? Like that just, it sort of encourages people to sort of push more money into the pockets of your favorite, you know, whoever your favorite billionaire is. And that makes it harder. You know what I mean? Like I'm a, you know, like I said before, I was a double independent. I mean, I'm basically you know, a dude sort of playing on the ground while the Giants are fighting and just hoping I don't get stepped on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's that part of it is challenging. COVID's been challenging because, you know, because I'm a double independent, you know what I mean? There's tons of people who won't, you know, who won't give me the time of day, like in terms of, you know, media people. I mean, there's a guy from a very famous publication that wants to interview me, but can't, you know what I mean? Like his editor won't let me, like, mm-hmm. or won't let him. And it's always amusing. Cause you know what I mean? Like, you've got to be famous enough to get interviewed, but you can't, you know, get famous enough without the exposure, I suppose. So like, yeah, that's always a battle. You know, I get emails probably pretty regularly from people that are like, cause I've been doing this for years now. And I get interviews from people that'll be like, you know, I walked by your booth a bunch of times, or I've come to your booth and gotten autographs from wrestlers and stuff. And I've never actually checked out your book. And, you know, I always wanted to, and, you know, and then now I finally did and I love it. And I can't believe it took so long. And like, that's the thing that's so frustrating is that we make really cool stuff, but sometimes it's just, you know, it's a battle to get people to try it. And I feel like once people try it, they're on board, but it's just a matter of getting people past that hump. I met the creator from one of the creators from Lucha Underground, and I was like, oh, hey, check this out, man. It's, you know, this is a comic book. He's I'm not really a comic book guy, you know? And I was like, oh, I'm like, so how many times when pitching Lucha Underground to people, did you have to be like, it's not like a regular wrestling show? And he's like, oh man, he goes, I just did that to you, didn't I? He's like, people do that to me all the time. And he goes, I just did that to you. I was like, exactly. You know what I mean? So like, even people that like sort of go through it, end up like in that same sort of, you know, just resistance to new things or whatever. So it's complicated. But we just keep plugging along, you know?
The irony there too, like specifically that it was Lucha Underground, another sort of out there professional wrestling sphere brought that up. But I like the irony there, that you're sort of get the ears perked. I even like that you brought up the wrestling war, because I know that this is at least partially surmised from previous stories and stuff you've done for your wrestle crates and all of that. But like, you've almost brought every promotion together in a way, right? Whether it's with this one or the previous Tales from the Road. How cool is it for you that you get the opportunity to work with such a wide variety of professional wrestlers? You know, you've got your deathmatch wrestlers, your veterans, your current stars. It's got to be neat.
It's, I mean, honestly, it's a dream come true. Like, I mean, you know, I set out to make a cool wrestling comic, and, you know, I think we did that, but I never in my life ever dreamed that I'd be, you know, friends with guys. And, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, Shane Helms is a very good friend of mine now, just from this, like we met, you know, through our mutual love of wrestling and comics, and Christopher Daniels. And, you know, obviously Jerry Lawler is like one of my best friends now from, you know, doing all the covers to my books. And
yeah,
it's wild to have that sort of relationship with people that, you know what I mean? Like the coolest thing is when people you respect something that you've created, like another creator that you've respected. And that always sort of, you know, that's like the highest compliment to me. Like, it sort of tickles me to no end when like somebody's like, come on, you were a wrestler, weren't you? Like, there's no way you haven't been a wrestler and you wrote this. And that's my favorite, like, sort of compliment that I get. But it's cool. It's really a lot of fun. I've been really, really lucky.
What's the creative process like? Because again, you get a wide variety of pro wrestlers, a wide variety of different storytellers as well, I would assume. Is it sort of not bend to what they want to do, but do you sort of let them dictate the process and work between the lines there? Or is there a set way that you go about it? Or what's sort of the behind the curtain like as far as that goes?
I mean, it's different for everybody. Sometimes, you know, like some people have written full scripts for me, or some people have written pro stories that I've had to adapt. Sometimes you just sit down with somebody at like a restaurant or a bar and we bang out like the concept and the beats, and then I'll write it and send it to them and they'll give me notes. I do like to have a little bit of control over it, because sometimes wrestlers love comics but don't necessarily understand how much story you can fit in a certain amount of time. You know, one of the stories in this collection that we did is a story that I co-created with Crime Time, which is probably one of the last things that Shad did before he died. Like, he gave me the edits like 3 days before he died. And I mean, I love that dude. Like, he was an OG supporter from like day one, and just the best dude ever. I got yeah. But I mean, you know, and there's a guy that loved comics his whole life, you know what I mean? And he sent me, you know, him and Jay had banged out the story idea that was sort of based on a real life, the interaction they had and sort of the day they became sort of brothers more than just partners. And they, you know, I mean, it was too long. I mean, I was like, this is like a book and a half. Mm-hmm. And, so, I mean, we had to really, you know, work to get it down to a workable space. But you know, I mean, it's so much fun to be able to just toss around ideas. And I mean, collaboration, I mean, whether it's with wrestlers or with my artists or whoever, like, is the best part of the thing. Like, I just wrapped a story with the Inspiration that it's the longest story we've ever done. It's a body horror story. And it's got kind of a Nightmare on Elm Street vibe to it. And it's super fun, you know, but we were talking and like, I want to say it was Jessica suggested something. And my immediate thought was, no way. Like, that's just not like, no. And then like, I thought about it a little more and then I was like, and it pushed me in a different direction that I never would have got to on my own. And I was like, well, what? Yeah, that's okay. So what if we do that and then make it this? And then they're like, oh, that's the story, you know? And it's like that part of it to me is the best. Like, I love watching, like, I love it when the pieces click, you know, cause there's always that sort of, you know, you got it and you're banging around on it and it's there and it's there. And then it just comes into focus. And like, that's like the real thing.
The chef's kiss of it. Yeah.
You know, and it's funny because when I watch wrestling, the thing that I love is watching characters find their voice. You know what I mean? Like, cause everybody, when you start, you have this character and it's sort of whatever, and then they refine it and you can always tell that sort of moment when they put all the pieces together and they sort of become that character.
Yeah.
And like, I love that more than anything. Like, that's my favorite thing. Like, I love, you know, it's not a popular opinion, I guess, but like, I love the new NXT and I love that they're sort of, all these guys are, when women are sort of workshopping their characters right now and you watch them get a little bit better every week. And, you know, I mean, I remember when Scott Steiner became, you know, he went from being Scott Steiner to sort of Big Papa Pump, and they would send him out there every week with a microphone and just let him ramble.
Yeah.
And it took some time. You know what I mean? Like the first, you know, the first interview versus where, but he found his voice and he sort of became this, you know, once in a lifetime character that like nobody else ever could have created. You know what I mean? Like that character is his very unique character that he made. And he just sort of made it in front of everybody. And like that process to me is fascinating.
I was going to say, like, and you use a Steiner, you got a Braun Breaker fan sitting right in front of you, my friend. Like, I completely agree on that end of things. It's very cool to watch the full process where, of course, the last edition, I guess, of NXT, you got a lot of great pro wrestlers, but a lot of real complete pro wrestlers. It's two very different great buffets.
I would argue that they were, I would argue they were complete wrestlers, but maybe not complete characters. And that's the thing. Sorry, I'm yelling at my dog.
Don't worry. I was going to say, you saw me look behind at mine barking out the window.
You know, I think one of the things that sort of was weird to me about NXT was it sort of had developed into this thing that, you know, if it's a developmental thing, like you had all these guys that were sort of like first name, last name, like boots and tights, strikers. And I don't necessarily think that that works for WWE and what WWE is. Like, I think it's funny because WWE's always been what it is. And I feel like on some level, people's complaints with WWE are, I want it to be something else, but it's not. And it's never been like, so you see a character like Elias or Alexa Bliss that maybe didn't have the success in NXT, but they had those big sort of bold characters that work on the main roster and they found success where you see some of these other people, you know what I mean? Like, you know, that are just their first name, last name, no character to them or whatever, that haven't had the success. And I don't know. To me, it makes perfect sense as to why some people make it and some people don't. And it always mystifies me when there's like a, you know, like, I don't know. Like, I think Nikki Cross's new gimmick is fun. I think it needs some work. I think it's, you know what I mean? But I think that's what works on the main roster though. It's big and it's bright and it's bold. Like, I feel like as a wrestling fan, or as a WWE fan, like you should be able to turn the channel And like I did when I was a kid, when I saw George the Animal Steel, like I knew what George the Animal Steel was, you know, when you see Bray Wyatt, you know what Bray Wyatt is, you know, when you see the Hardy Boys or Steve Austin, like, you know what those characters are the minute you see them. And I think that that's what works in WWE. And that's the sort of thing that people should be striving for. But I mean, if you're just, you know, I think the, you know, what NXT had become wasn't necessarily working as a feeder, you know, for the main roster. And I think that the change was kind of necessary. Yeah. I mean, NXT was probably more of a better feeder for AEW, I think.
Well, and I won't disagree with you. And the biggest thing that like always is sort of stuck in my craw as far as that goes is, like you say, if you don't like what you're seeing from promotion A, WWE at this point, there's so much else out there.
Oh, I know.
So much else out there at this point. Watch what you would love for a while.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I remember just, you know, in 2004-ish, you know, just being burnt out. And then I discovered Ring of Honor and like it changed my path. Like Headlock probably wouldn't exist without Ring of Honor and like Samoa Joe and CM Punk having their trilogy and just sort of falling into it. And it's, you know, sometimes you need it to be different things. Sometimes I think people want, I don't know. I think, and not just wrestling. I think this happens in every fandom. I think you fall in love with something as a kid and then you're sort of embarrassed by it as an adult. So you need it to be edgier. Like you can't love the same things that you loved as a kid. And then as you get older, you sort of go back to the things that you loved as a kid, you know? So I think like that's the natural progression in almost any fandom. Like, you know, oh, I love Hulk Hogan. And then you're older and you're like, oh, Hulk Hogan's not cool. I love Japanese wrestling. And then you watch that for a little while. And then you're like, oh man, I miss crazy characters again. And, you know, and I see it with superheroes, you know, you love the heroes and then you want that sort of Zack Snyder, like dark, gritty thing. And then you go back and you're like, oh no, but I just want, you know, I want classic heroes again. So
I want the Hulk back.
Right.
In both fandoms.
Right. And I'm at that point in my life, I think, where I want the stuff that I loved as a kid more than, you know what I mean? Like I'm not embarrassed to be, and I've never been embarrassed to be a wrestling fan or embarrassed to be a comic book fan. Like I like what I like and I don't need to have that super serious thing to, you know, get somebody else to watch it who's never going to watch it in the first place, you know?
So. Yeah, that's exactly it. You're very rarely going to convince someone who's planted their flag in being a non-believer, right?
But I also think, you know, everybody likes their thing. And, you know, you could ask 100 people about pizza and some people are going to be like, yeah, I don't like pizza. And it's just, it is what it is. You know what I mean? Like everybody's got their own flavors. And I feel like, you know, instead of like, that's the thing that drives me nuts about the tribalism is just, you know what I mean? Like you can like what you like without tearing other people down. And I mean, I watch the stuff I like and there's more than enough stuff, you know,
exactly.
Like I love the independence. I love watching independent wrestling. I love watching, you know, I love watching characters find their voice. I love watching, you know, like, and you see that obviously more on the independence, you know, but like, that's the sort of thing that I love about wrestling that probably isn't, you know, some people like, you know, head drops and strikes and hamburger chests. And that's, I don't dislike that either, but you know what I mean? Like I want more.
It ain't, you know, your big flavor.
You know, I mean, I'm not against it, but it's not, you know, it's not the thing that it makes me love it more than anything. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people it is. So I just like what I like and I try not to, you know, poop in anybody else's cornflakes and let them like what they like. And, you know, we should all be able to exist, you know, under the same roof, I think.
I completely love it and I completely agree. My friend, you talked a lot about the diverse cast of characters, professional wrestlers, anything in between. Was there maybe anybody who surprised you with what they pitched to you as a story or caught you off guard?
Gangrel, probably. We did a story for volume one. And I'm actually trying, we're going to try to expand this into a full series, I think, but it's a story about a guy that, trains Bigfoot to wrestle, in a family promotion that's going out of business in the '80s in the Northwest, sort of due to national expansion and a variety of pressures. And the promoter, you know, feels like he's let his family down. He goes in the woods to ostensibly commit suicide and Bigfoot stops him. And rather than turning in Bigfoot for millions of dollars, he trains Bigfoot to main event his indie wrestling promotion. And we opened the story with Bigfoot in rehab doing yoga. So it's, you can imagine where it goes. So, but you know what I mean? Like that was the thing that he was like, oh man, I always wanted to do a story about Bigfoot and wrestling. And I'm like, okay, let's figure it out, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, you know, you never know. Like people have different interests and stuff. And I do try to come to, I try to come to meetings with a few ideas that I think that people will at least sort of, you know, steer the conversation in a certain way. You know, like I know I did, you know, there's a story we did with Thunder Rosa. I know she's a huge X-Men fan and she's done, you know, and she has a, you know, an all women's promotion called Mission Pro Wrestling. So in my mind, she's Magneto essentially, you know what I mean? Like, and we sort of came up with a story sort of like that. And I think that that's, I don't know, you know what I mean? And that's like, it's just finding that thread that people love, you know, the story we did with the Iconics was based on a podcast they did where they talked about their eating disorders. And, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, you find what's important to people, what their interests are, the messages they're trying to tell. In the story we did with Mustafa Ali for the first one was based off of a very real experience he had with a promoter trying to get him to play a character that he doesn't want to play, and asked him to do some crazy stuff. You know, and we built a story around that. So it's cool. Like I said, man, wrestlers are the best storytellers. You know, they're telling stories in the ring. They're telling stories in between towns. Like, you know, one of my favorite things is just I'm at conventions with all these guys and, you know, we'll be in the green room or whatever. I mean, I remember being in the, maybe like 2 years ago, just was sitting with Ric Flair and Mick Foley and Road Warrior Animal. It was right when Harley Race had died and they were just talking about Harley Race stories. And, you know, I don't personally
be a fly on the wall. Hey?
Yeah. I didn't personally know Harley Race. I just kind of sit there and just soak it in. And it's wild. You know what I mean? To the knowledge, but all these guys, they're natural storytellers. And I think that that's the fun part about working with them. Cause we're telling a story in a different medium, but it's still storytelling at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. And like you mentioned, I love the fact that you got like the silliness of some comic books and comics, and you've got the serious nature of some of the other things that there you were talking about. Like you mentioned, it ain't your mama's wrestling comic book, for lack of a better way to put sure. it, right?
So, well, the main Headlock book is straight drama. So then, Tales from the Road lets us play in all these different genres, and you know, tell any kind of story we want. You know, we've got MVP is the Punisher of the shady promoters. And, you know, we did a Santo monster movie riff with Taya, you know, all kinds of stuff. We did a horror, like a sort of a horror comic with Thijack, T-Bar, I guess, as he is now. You know, and some of them are real personal stories and some of them, you know, are just, we did a Christmas story with Mick Foley. You know, it's been fun, and you get to, and all the stories, I don't know. I think all the stories are fun in their own way. You know, some of them are fun, some of them are serious, but they're all, I don't know. I'm really proud of everything that we put together.
Absolutely. And as you should be, and friends, you should all be wanting to support over the next little bit. Like I've mentioned a few times throughout the show, the Kickstarter is going until November 11th. So plenty of time to get in, not only to support the comic itself, but to get a lot of added bonuses on the side. Michael, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on today, my friend. I really, really appreciate it. I whiffed on the extra there. That's what I did. Tie it all together. If people want to support you, not only beyond November 11th Kickstarter, but in the future, beyond your next comics, where can they do so?
All of my social media is Headlocked Comic. It's one word. It's our website. It's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I'm too old for TikTok. Sorry. Snapchat is where it started. I think where like, I was like, okay, this is probably, you know, beyond my purview. And now I'm way TikTok's like way out there for me, but,
yeah, we have another guy handle that for us too.
I'm on all those things. It's all me. I run it all. So, I'm always around. If people have questions about Headlocked, I try to help people that are trying to break into comics, because I had a real, obviously, unconventional journey. And I do a lot of panels and stuff related to that, trying to help people sort of stand on my shoulders so they don't make all the same mistakes that I did. Come check us out. I think we've got I think we've got stuff that's worth your time. So
I would completely agree, friends. And if you think that we are worth your time over here at Love Wrestling, if you've tuned in wherever your favorite audio is played, or if you're watching us on YouTube, feel free to throw us a like, a share, a follow, a Yelp review. Again, I'm at the point where, you know, I'm a little old for most of the internet, to be honest with you. So feel free to throw us some love wherever you so feel like it. But of course, feel free to throw some to Headlock as well. Thank you once again for tuning in, friends. I've been Spencer Love. We'll see you on the next one.